Good day and welcome to this latest episode of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John Wyatt, editor of Walls and Ceilings, and joining us today is Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting. How's it going, Tom?
Oh, it's going great this morning, John. A little wet up here in Minneapolis, but we'll get through it.
We're through a heat bomb in Detroit, as I believe that's the situation through a large part of the country. So it's either rain or nice hot summer weather for those that are lucky enough to be near the beach or a pool. So, my man, in our last podcast, we talked about the use of spray foam in metal buildings. What's on the table today?
Yeah, I think in our last podcast, John, we talked a little bit about moving up to the roof. So I think now's a good time with all the rain and whatnot. You know, resilient construction is a term that we use a lot these days, and we use it to define a kind of a direction for new construction. And we need to build resilient structures and all that sort of thing. We know that. But what role does, well, let's look at retrofit roofing. What role does it play?
Yeah, so how can retrofit roofing contribute?
Well, most of the country, as you and I are currently experiencing, this spring and summer is turning out to be some of the wettest months on record. Now, remember, in the commercial market, most roofs don't get repaired or replaced until they leak. And this year, as we are experiencing, there's a lot of leaks. So a lot of retrofit roofing opportunities.
That sounds like a good thing, though, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. Repairing and upgrading commercial industrial roofs to make them leak-free and therefore more resilient is a good thing. But I think we're missing the point.
Also, man.
Well, leaks and roofing are a local issue. They happen on my roof at my location. Productivity is down because of it due to water intrusion. I've got these yellow placards everywhere, slippery when wet, you know, safety issues, slip and falls. They're a big concern with standing water. The entire underside of my roof looks like it's wearing a diaper. It's like we're working in a 200-year-old building. And these are local issues. And to fix them, we re-roof. But there's a bigger picture under resilient buildings. We need to consider the energy conservation opportunity when we re-roof. Yeah, sure, it's a local issue with rain and leak-proof for sure. But if we're going to include the concept of resilient construction, we need to consider the environmental impact and energy conservation aspects of re-roofing.
So don't we do that with codes and adding insulation, Tom?
Yeah, but here's the point. It's a little deeper than that. When building owners ask roofing contractors, how much energy will this activity save? How many tons of CO2 will the added insulation save? What about operational cost reduction? I'm finding roofing contractors that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a lot this year, they can't answer that question.
Well, it's got to go to save something, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what roofing contractors, how they respond. The question is how much? What's the contribution from the added insulation and the added value of eliminating the air leaks in the roofing, which was just leaking water? You know, if it's leaking water, it's also leaking air.
Okay, so by fixing the water leaks, we can also eliminate air leakage, right?
Exactly right. And I've created a tool that roofing contractors can use to accurately estimate the energy savings that shows up in, you know, operational cost reductions for the building owner. It shows the building owner how many tons of CO2 and other environmental impacts that they get the benefit of just by, as they think, fixing the leaks in the roof.
How does that work?
Okay. Well, roofing contractors, before they submit a bid, they take linear measurements, the perimeters, the expansion joints. They identify the number and types of penetrations, the percentage of wet insulation, identify components of the existing roof assembly. They do a whole lot of work. And I take those observations and those calculations, you know, those measurements, combine them with the historical electrical consumption data from the building owner. Then I create a report which estimates the energy savings and environmental impact of that re-roofing project. So contractors can collect the data that they're already doing in order to make their bid, give it to me, and I give the contractor back a report that they can give to the building owner. And it talks about and supports, from an energy conservation standpoint, exactly what that contractor is proposing.
So, but how do you know the air infiltration of the existing roof assembly?
Exactly. And that's a great question. Back in the 90s, like 20 plus years ago, there was a study conducted by the National Research Council of Canada that looked at the air leakage potential of different roof assemblies. Great idea. We were all thinking about saving energy and this sort of thing. We looked at concrete, wood decks, metal decks, various roof covering systems like single-ply membrane, built-up roof, you know, BUR. Spray foam was included. We added some different materials for insulation, single thickness, double layers, you know, EPS, XPS, all different kinds of stuff, PIR board. And they realized that different roof assemblies and had different air infiltration rates. So if we combine the information from that study and what we now know about the value and the impact of air infiltration from all the penetrations, then we add the effect of wet insulation, we get a pretty clear picture of how the existing roof is performing from an energy standpoint.
So we know the type and condition of the roof deck, the type and thickness of the roof insulation, the extent of wet insulation, the air tightness of the existing roof assembly. And then we upgrade the roof insulation and seal all the penetrations to eliminate air infiltration. Is that about it, Tom?
Yeah. And then we address the covering. Is it going to be white, black, tan, gray, you know, the Cool Roof Rating Council, emissivity data, all that stuff. We pull all that together into the calculator and we get back real potential savings numbers, both in dollars and environmental impact. Now we're talking about real resiliency, both from resisting, you know, the weather and the environment, and what impact we will have as that building on the environment.
So how does this fit into the concept of resilient construction?
Well, resilient construction needs, or at least it has the potential to, go beyond simply resisting or recovering from natural events. You know, that's the current definition of resilient construction. I think resiliency needs to include a building impact on the environment. A resilient building is intended to be around for a long time in that environment. It should therefore impact its environment during its long life to a minimum extent. You know, minimize the impact. We can do that by making it more energy efficient when we have the chance to. And today, in the non-residential space, you know, the industrial commercial, that's when we re-roof. And based on all the conversations I've been having lately and all the rain I've seen, apparently our existing industrial commercial buildings are not resilient enough.
You mentioned you do have a calculator, and I think we've spoken about this in the past, but come on, Tom, tell us about that.
Well, I work with roofing contractors, and they provide me information, and I create these reports. We get it from the roof walk when they're doing their bid preparation, that sort of thing. I generate the report from the building using the contractor's bid information. So all of the cost data that goes into that report is very accurate. And they include it in their proposal. And it really differentiates that particular contractor from other contractors who apparently aren't aware of the energy conservation, the operational cost reduction impact, and building owners love to hear that. So if anybody wants more information, it's under the the BEAT roofing audit, and BEAT stands for Building Envelope Auditing Team, a group I've created, and they can go to my website at www.letstalkpur, that's short form for polyurethane, so it's letstalkpur.com, or www.buildingenvelopeaudit.com, and there's a whole section on roofing and roofing retrofit opportunities there. So I think that can help bring people to realize that this that's where we are in the space these days. It's not only about repairing the leak, but it's about energy conservation as well. Always should be top of mind.
Excellent, Tom. And can you tell us, what are we going to chat about next time? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think we should turn our intention. By that time, John, we'll be in the dog days, you know, July, August of the hot summer. And let's really have a look at energy conservation, some building materials, and look at spray foam compared to other materials again.
My man, can't wait to discuss it with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Harris, I'm John White of Walls and Ceilings, and thanks for joining us for this episode of If Walls Could Talk.